Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
You've got to realize this is valuable. Now, I don't know how long it'll take you to realize that you keep coming and going. You better grab a hold of this and hold on to it. It's valuable. It has stood the test of time. It has done what it says. You talking about perfection? It's in front of you. I've seen people, many theologians. Well, you know, we don't know about the Bible as this. Y'all under attack of the devil. He's trying to get you to discredit the Word of God. You think God can make a mistake? You think you can come along and you 60 years old and you can find error in God? No, it's not error. You're not understanding what you're reading. Look at it. Come on, somebody. See, mankind is more likely to blame others than himself. And this will be in you no matter how smart you get, how many degrees you get. You will still carry this unless you humble yourself under the Lord. Amen. That's why you have to work humbly before the Lord. Some things you'll know. But let me get back to Luke, where Jesus says, this is in red writing in your Bible, if you have a red writing edition. And now, here's another thing. This is the healing service. But see, you got to get the healing service, and you get in the Word of God on healing. And many places you may be, you don't hear enough about healing to grasp, amen, the concept of divine healing and how it works. But mainly when you are learning faith in God, you are grasping it. How you got saved. Matter of fact, let me go on back. One of the things, many people, you'd be amazed at people really don't understand how they're saved. In other words, the principles involved in the way that you are saved, what you had to do, why you had to do it, what God did, why he had to do it, and what that means to you now, many people haven't thought about their salvation on that. And I'm going to keep going back to this, is that this is why you have a lot of relational confusion in the body of Christ. You have a lot of relational confusion in the body of Christ when it comes to growth and maturity. When it comes to growth and maturity. Because you got the 12th graders in there with the first graders. And you got the 6th graders in there with the 10th graders. And they have different levels of maturity and knowledge of the Word of God. And they're trying to judge each other because they brought that judgment from the world. That comparison you have comparing other people, you brought that from the world. There's no other you. So here, you've got to get this. And so you don't want it to be a problem, but it needs to be covered with people. Because you can look at people and say, well, you know, they don't look like they're doing too good in the Lord. You don't know where they came from. If you don't know where God brought them from in the things that you can see, I'm saying, okay, they're doing this, yeah. But and they're born again now, but they're still stumbling around in some areas, but they're not a sinner anymore. They've given their life to the Lord, but there was so much bondage, they're having to walk out some things, and they're having to get this word in them, and the devil want to keep them away from the word, and so you're looking at them trying to judge them, and you don't know them. You don't know them. And you meet people, they don't tell you everything. You don't know where they came from. You know, I see a lot of times, and I think the same thing with Joyce Myers, and she talked about her problem of being abused by her family and all of this stuff like this here. You can't look at people and know what they've been through. You can't look at them and know where they come from or where they've lived unless they tell you. But God does. God knows every bit of it. Come on, somebody. Let God be God. Let his enemies be scattered. So you got to be humble and walk in love with people. And when you do that, they'll say, you know, I got something to tell you. Let me tell you where God brought me from. Because, see, you didn't bring them. God brought them. The testimony, they're saved by the blood of Jesus, not by your approval. Nobody come in the body of Christ by your approval. They came in by the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so it's a humbling, this walking in love. You're gonna receive from God, you gotta walk in humility and come down off of your high horse that sin nature puts you in. Come on, somebody. That's why many people out there now, you're trying to judge the church and you dead in trespasses and sin. You don't know enough. You don't know what you're looking at. This word, unless God show you, you don't know where you come from. And you definitely don't know where you're going, but God is faithful. So the scripture here says, and I'm going to move quickly, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh my God, how are we supposed to do that? You know, that's something about love. You have to know to do this right here. But Jesus is saying it. And many people, they're operating in that love that's not agape love. They're operating in that phileo love. You friend, you be friendly to me, I'll be friendly to you. You know, it's a tit for tat. And so God says, let's go what the word says. It says, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would, verse 31, that man should do to you, do ye also to them likewise? Do ye also to them likewise? For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. Love those that love them. She said, that ain't nothing new. That ain't Christianity to love people that love you. He said, you do, and the sinners do that. Dead in trespasses and sin. It's like a natural reaction. He said, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. See, these levels, these areas, Lord have mercy, you've got people that have broken relationships over a few dollars. My coat, my clothes, my car, whatever it is. And you're trying to walk in divine healing. Your faith is subject to your heart. This is stuff, the Word of God said, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. What Jesus is talking to them about, this is what's inside of people. He said, you got to get that out. I'm trying to free you. There's a freedom in Christianity that comes with a renewed mind in certain areas in your life. Now, you've been set free, amen, because of the Word of God and from the bondage of the devil and the devil ordering you around. But there's another freedom that you got to have in your life and walking in your life where you're not bound by these petty attitudes you have about people because you don't know you're trying to protect everything. And God's telling you to walk that love walk. So you have to know what that, you can't lose with that love walk. Amen. So, and many, many, many people, they're looking, we're talking about a reception for reception. Amen. You got to receive from God, there has to be a foundation to receive from him. There's some things in you that you got to get out in order to receive from God. Because what God's going to do is check you on them. The Spirit of God's going to check you on them or rebuke you about them. And you're trying to receive from the Lord in areas, and these areas have got to be clear. And there are many people, they don't do normal outward sins you have, but on the inside, the Bible said they're ravening wolves. They're predators. They don't have the love of God. And you can't see that. You cannot see that on the outside, and you won't know it unless you've dealt with them. Now, why am I on this? Now, why am I on this end of the morning and healing? All right, but let's go further. So it says, for if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them, which you know, of them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Isn't that something? Yeah. Just and it rained on the just and the unjust. God is just good. I said he's just that good. He is as powerful as he is good. God not stopped by the evil that's in people. Lord have mercy. God is not stopped or hindered by the evil that is in people. Amen. He's just love. See, you got to be about winning, and winning is about love. So you can't stop that in your life, that love walk in your life, because your faith is dependent upon it. Let me say this. When you look at it, say, well, I heard faith. No, you got to look at what it is. You got to look at what it's saying. It says, the just shall live by faith in God. Faith is dependent. Faith is dependent and connected to some other things. Number one, the word says faith, which worketh by love. It works by love. Okay, when we got saved, born again, or when you received salvation, amen, salvation had to be made available. See, often you look at this. Now, this is divine healing. Now, what is this? What is this? How does this help us, Pastor? Because I'm dealing with receiving. I'm dealing with receiving. And you've got to understand this, because what the enemy will do, a lot of people receive healing. You got a lot of stuff going on in your life. In other words, it's not God. You'll think maybe God doesn't want. No, it's not God. It's you. See, these receptions, you've got to prepare things for. You got to prepare your life for reception all the time, to walk in divine health, using the word of God. Now, but the word of God is called the word of faith. All right, so there are things that can hinder it. And so when you look at walking in love, amen, and I talked about how you got saved. When you got saved, if you'll admit it, when you came down the aisle, how you got saved, you knew nothing. Your knowledge was very limited about what you were about to receive. You were about to receive the very highest from God. The greatest thing God made available to mankind is salvation through his son Jesus. He took you to the top from the bottom. You went from being dead, amen, to being the son of the living God, amen. He did that in one prayer. But what had happened was, when you heard the gospel preached to you, somebody said receive, reception. When you heard the gospel preached to you, it told you about Jesus. But see, you got to look at faith and how God operated by faith. So, because what we must do is duplicate how God operates. Amen. So when Jesus had died and buried and was raised from the dead, hallelujah, and seated at the right hand of the Father, and you heard that preached to you, like those of you this morning, you hear this preached to you, and you ask Jesus to come in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. But you do that after you know who he is, that he was God's son, he lived without sin, he died and was buried and raised from the dead on the third day. These things are important. But you get saved, and then you go back and start looking at the details of the importance of how salvation was manufactured by God. What do you mean salvation was manufactured? It was manufactured. When I said use the word manufactured, that means there were things Jesus had to do on the earth in order to make salvation available. He had to do some things, then die. He then died. He had to accomplish those things. And so your healing has to do with what he accomplished before he died. So I'm breaking this thing. I'm sharing it in a different way. There were things that Jesus did that related directly to what our issues were before he died. And so when he was raised from the dead, amen, the word of God said he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, right? They were upon him before he died. That happened before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Are you following me? All right, so what has to happen, and what you're doing, and you're hearing the gospel, we're putting you in, you've got to be in the position of understanding that this happened for you. And so you must receive, amen, what was done for you so that you can operate in the power of what it has done to you, so that you'll be able to operate and let God manifest it through you. All of this is happening. See, if you're just a spectator, you're sitting in Christianity bleachers, like you watching watching the a game of Jesus playing. No, oh, Jesus is this, Jesus is that. No, you're not a fan. You're not a fan. You're on the team. That's your elder brother. He's the faithful high priest, and there's a role you have to play. There's something God expects you to be doing instead of judging other people. You've got a role, and it starts with understanding yourself. Now, we're going to cover in the second service, praise God, we'll talk about, how to weaponize your faith, and we're going to talk about the growth process. We talked about the new birth and the growth process, because we're going to share this, and you'd be amazed of, and when we first began years ago and was teaching the new birth, you'd be amazed at how many people did not understand salvation. Saints, well, I just know I was blind, now I see. That's good, but you need to know some more. There are some more things that God wants you to know. That's why they're in the Bible, because there are things that he wants you to do, and you know that you're doing them and receiving them based on the word of God and a clear directive that God has given for us who are in the body of Christ, amen, to glorify him, to walk in victory, the healing would manifest, amen, the victory would manifest. So in any case, so when you got saved, when you received salvation, salvation was praise God, the work of God. Okay, what I mean is salvation as a thing that you could actually receive was the work of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Okay, now, we know that to be saved. All right, so he gave his son according to some principles that salvation is built around. He gave his only begotten son. He gave because he was triggering spiritual law. He gave his son. Why? The word says, while we were yet sinners. We say, okay, God, I tell you what, if you just send Jesus to die for me, it'll be available, and then I'll get saved. No. Mankind wasn't interested in being saved. He was dead in trespasses and sin. So here again, you got to look at this, because if you receive, see, this is as powerful as this before I close. If you receive salvation, healing is in it. It's in there. Healing, heaven when you die, it's all in the same package. But so as you have a whole grasp, you say, well, you know, God, I just get better. Yeah, you'll get better, but God's already, salvation was made available, which is why we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. Now, here again, we're talking about faith, because remember, when the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus hadn't died, been raised from the dead. But she was operating by faith in God. Faith in God, the word of God. So you need to get this, because that's what you heard when you got saved. You heard the word of God preached. God sent his son, Jesus died, you know, my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. That was what? The word of God. So when you look at Hebrews 4:12, when they tell you the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, then Jesus, praise God, he came and he did the things that he did. And the Bible, when I say was salvation was manufactured, you know, I don't even think about how people criticize this, but just hold on, say, let's give you a revelation. When he had sent his son, he had to manufacture salvation. Salvation couldn't be just made available because God wanted us saved. God sent his son to die. Because what had occurred, you have to look at where the problem came from. You got to look at where man being dead and trespassing and sin, you got to look at where it came from, how it came about, and the power of its bondage. Lord, have mercy. See, man's falling from grace of God, there was a power in that with Adam's disobedience, that God had to have a power that was greater than that. He sent his son. Because see, you may look at it as you just getting saved. God look at the power of the devil had to be broken. And when it happened, he got that power because man gave it to him. Man relinquished his authority by sinning. Man lost it by sinning. God had to get it back by man. He had to get it back. and he got it back through Jesus. This is why when you look at the identity, you know, everybody coming, you got Buddha, you got the different religions got these different people. This is where the identity of these different people come in. Because see, they can't hold that position of Jesus. God sent his son. See, nobody could break that power. That power, the person coming to break that power had to come from where that power was given. Lord have mercy. It had to come from where that power was located and given. Buddha wasn't there. Krishna wasn't there. Muhammad wasn't there. Jesus was there. When the Bible tells you that they were one and three and three and one, Jesus was there when Adam fell. He knew it. And God got him to come. So you got to look at the power of what you're operating in. The power of what you're operating in. So God sent him, amen, to pay the price that was lost to get Jesus back. Now, what does this have to do with divine healing for us? It has to do with believing and receiving. With believing and receiving. And so here, when you get the word of God, you received, your receiving was by hearing the word of God and the power in the word of God. A lot of times people don't get saved when they first hear it. They have to go over in their mind. You know, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Amen. Are you following? He said, come let us reason. He said, let me give you the information on who you are, where you came from, how you got where you were. See, in other words, that dead in trespasses and sin, sickness, disease, all of that was there. That's why we're redeemed from it, because it came in that death package. Lord have mercy. It came in the death package. And that's why you had to be redeemed from. You've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. It was in a package. Amen. When you look at it in the major categories, all this stuff with demonic oppression, all this stuff was in that death package. It was a death package, and it doesn't belong to you. So you, as you get the word of God, amen, and some of that, when you come to God, you have some of that stuff in the death package in you. And God challenges it. He challenges it. Get rid of this. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't get over where I wanted to go, but anyway. The scripture says, you know, that clock. Oh, I know, mine's a little fast. So, this love area here, and it says, but love your enemies, verse 35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Okay, go to verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Okay, now, usually we go over that. We go over there talking about the give scripture. Giving shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Isn't that right? You see that? Go back to the verse before that. See, usually you hear that when we preachers, we doing getting you to give and the offering and give and stuff like that, you know. Any type of giving, which is good, but there's a scripture that came before that. Here's the one right here. People get caught up on their material giving and not realize, amen, that God dealing with your attitude. He tell you to don't judge before he tell you to give. Now, y'all ain't helping me. I said, Jesus is teaching this. He deal with man about a judgment, about judgment of their peers, amen, and lack of being merciful and condemnation. You know, people will condemn you. I just don't think if anybody do that, you know, they call themselves saved. What are you doing? What did you say? What are you judging right now? They call themselves saved. How do you get saved unless you call yourself saved? Because you had to say something to be saved. What are you doing now? The word says you sitting in the seat of the scornful. You perfected to that level now. And you're the one to pass judgment on others. Come on, somebody. This is Christianity at its core. Because if you don't, just when you need your faith to operate, you're going to be tied up judging somebody. Or you can help people. You can tell them like it is if you want to. If they ask you permission, they give you permission. Say, here's what I think you need to do. But to be judging, you know that Jesus is the answer. So it says, love your enemies, do good to them, and do good, verse 35. And then it talks about lending and giving them things. Be merciful as your Father also which is merciful. You know, you don't need mercy unless you're guilty. Mercy is not for people who, well, we're not sure if they really did it. No, that ain't mercy. That's not mercy there. That's investigation. That's what that is. That's investigating. Mercy is, I know you did it, but God loves you. It's okay. God loves you. You can recover from this. See, those of you out there say this and say, I can recover. That's right, because God is a merciful God. Mercy is not for righteous, it's not for you right. You right. No, you don't need no mercy. Amen. But when you guilty, you need mercy because you can't handle no judgment. You can't handle judgment when you're guilty. Judgment is going to give you some time. Amen. And what believers around learning the word so they can give people time. I'm going to give them a month. I ain't speaking to them for a month. For a year, I ain't helping them. They do this. That's judgment. You bring it. Oh, let's go. Isn't God good? I hope that helps somebody out there. I'm going to stop. God is so good. We'll pick up here next time. Listen, saints, to walk in divine healing, you got to start walking in this love walk. Your love walk will set you up to receive from God, receive His power, His love, His direction, His healing. Receive, it already belongs to you, but I'm talking about the manifestation. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Let church say praise God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm just time to just get on going in the word. I'm going to pick up some of this when we get into how to weaponize your faith. These are some things you got to get in and not be a hurry. Be in a hurry. If God tells us to be merciful, He's merciful for you. When you guilty, God know. When you guilty, God know you're guilty. Well, when you guilty, ask for mercy. Hallelujah. Don't try to lie to God. You can't lie to God. Just ask for mercy. And when other people guilty, give them what you ask for. Give them the mercy. And that love, loving those, oh my God, the body of Christ, that's our calling card, that love of God. Your faith thrives. Your faith thrives in an environment of love. That's why I said you in a household, you don't want no strife in your house. Get that out. Because you need that love operating. Come on, somebody. Amen. Sickness and disease, it wants to be an environment where it's strife. But you get that love in there, praise God, that love of God, that non-judgment love. And if you ever been, you dealt with anybody, any people since you've been living, it's going to make a demand on your love walk. Why are you going to have, you haven't developed it. We have to develop it. Jesus was teaching right here on the love walk. I trust I bless you. Amen. Those of you out there, if you're not saved, I'm going to pray this prayer with you and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I believe you heard my prayer, Jesus, and you've come in. I'm not lost anymore, but I'm saved by your blood, by your completed work. I thank you for saving me. Jesus, you're now my high priest. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit according to your word and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, I count it done. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's theheirchurch.org.